So I was hoping you can introduce yourself and tell us about your role in Halifax.
Sure. My name is Nancy Anningson, and I am a member of the Environment and Climate Change team at Halifax. My role is Climate Change Specialist, and my work is most specifically focused on building community resilience in the face of climate change impacts and identifying nature-based solutions for helping the municipality be more prepared for what's happening with climate change, and working alongside our partners in emergency management to make sure we have what we need when we have extreme weather events and incidents that put citizens and infrastructure at risk.
Speaking of extreme weather events, we just had Hurricane Fiona happen about 8 days ago. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how that impacted Halifax's community and what steps Halifax took to ensure everyone's well-being.
Yeah, so Nova Scotia and Halifax in particular, I guess, actually, I shouldn't say that. This time around, perhaps Halifax as a municipality was a bit more fortunate than we have been with some past hurricanes and post-tropical storms, at the expense of our colleagues in places like Pictou County and Sydney, and unfortunately in Port of Basque, Newfoundland. So the Halifax sits on the path of post-tropical storms and hurricanes, which is not a new thing per se. We've been here for some time, but with climate change, what we're seeing is that those extreme weather events are happening more frequently and they are more extreme in their nature as individual incidents. This time around, I know by the time we got to Fiona, I was hearing that was earlier in the season. On the heels of Fiona, there are a number of other named storms raging down in the Caribbean. And Dorian would have been an example of this too. There were factors at play in the climate that were slowing these storms down. Less of them were making it to us. They were typically less impactful when they were making it to us. And unfortunately, the direction that we're heading when it comes to those extreme weather events is that they will be more powerful. They're getting up here quicker. There's been changes in the Gulf Stream and so on. And then in addition to those, which are maybe the more event specific, we're also seeing a lot more and more severe nor'easters during the winter months. I think technically the season for nor'easters is between November and March or something to that effect, but I know in 2022 here in Halifax in February, we had several extreme events that caused damage to homes. My home, for example, suffered some damage. The Bedford Highway flooded at one point and had to be closed off for a period of time. And I was trying to recall, when was the last time we saw something like that? So those nor'easter events, I'll go back to Fiona in a second if it's all right, but we're anticipating that in the coming years, extreme heat will be a problem. And this past season, it was an extremely hot, dry summer. Going into it, I saw reports that some of the well measurements for different communities within Halifax, the wells were already lower than they normally would have been because we had less winter precipitation and a variety of other factors. So by August, Halifax had to give out drinking water to, I think they did it in 5 different communities, and I think it was August 28th. And I haven't been with the municipality a long time, but I don't recall in previous years hearing that we had to do that because of heat and dryness. So people's wells were more dry this year. And wildfires are something we need to be concerned about. As all these things are happening, we're also seeing an increase in invasive species, in pests, which can cause health concerns. Overall, we're already seeing some fairly significant climate change impacts, and we anticipate seeing a lot more in the coming years. With respect to Fiona, the damage that was caused here is one that I find very troubling. We're a beautiful city filled with trees, and we've been very active in the last number of years with an urban forest master plan and planting street trees and, you know, trying to go towards naturalization and trying to protect our natural assets to some degree. And for people who sit on my side of the climate change fence, trees are amazing for all these different reasons. Everything from they help us manage overland water flow. They drink a lot of water. So when we're dealing with flooding and so on, trees are our ally, you know, from a biodiversity standpoint, from a shade standpoint, when it comes to extreme heat, especially in urban centers with lots of pavement and so on. They clean the air. They both capture and deal with greenhouse gas emissions, but also they sequester carbon in their, you know, at the base of the tree. So when someone like me drives around after or walks around the town after Fiona and sees all these massive mature trees that have been uprooted, then we get to see the sort of other side of the trees. I always think they're wonderful for, and I only named a few reasons there. There are many, many more. When we go through an extreme weather event, those same trees unfortunately have branches that come down and whole trees that come down and destroy power lines and put power out, which causes lots of challenges for citizens. And they tear up sidewalks, they fall on homes and cars and things and cause damage. And then we get to see, you know, from a municipal standpoint, trees are a mixed bag. They're also, they need to be considered when you deal with crime prevention for designing and planning. The roots disrupt sidewalks and plumbing and so on. So it's challenging to see, but we need those trees, and particularly we need those mature trees to be able to help us mitigate climate change and to help protect us from the impacts of climate change. So that was the one of the worst things that I witnessed during Fiona was trees down everywhere.
And I know that the HRM recently did this initiative where they were giving out 1,000 trees and they just gave 500 out under 1 hour, so I've heard. So I was wondering if you could talk about Halifax's latest initiatives.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing all kinds of amazing stuff. There's another tree giveaway coming up this weekend. The thing that I was particularly excited about, I mean, I like the tree giveaway anyways, I find it quite exciting. 30% of the trees they're giving out in that pilot are actually edible fruit trees. The tree giveaway that Halifax is doing is a pilot. They're trying it out, trying to support residential property owners to be able to plant trees. And there are a whole raft of benefits for the municipality, the more trees that we have, although earlier I mentioned some of the challenges that trees can present through a municipal lens. When we think about temperatures rising in the next 30 and beyond years, especially in the urban center with a lot of pavement or impervious surfaces, you know, a lot of cities are already experiencing heat island effect. Trees will be an incredible ally for us when it comes to mitigating heat and climate change. And then the 30% of those trees that are edible fruit trees are actually giving residential property owners the opportunity, if they haven't before, to try growing some of their own food. And, you know, it's not easy. Fruit trees can require a fair amount of maintenance. I'm working on trying to find some public facing resources that tell us about how to maintain fruit trees and how to overcome some of the obstacles and how to get the best yield and so on. I'm working with some colleagues on my team on some, we call them stormwater management or green infrastructure projects, where we're trying to use nature-based solutions like rain gardens and bio swales and other ways of planting to manage extreme water flow, to help reduce the amount of stormwater after heavy precipitation, which is another climate change impact that our region is and will be experiencing. We're looking at maybe a pilot for rain barrels to help property owners trap some of that excess precipitation, keep it out of their yards and flooding areas and then have it on hand when we do deal with extreme heat so they can water their gardens and so on. There are quite a few different initiatives going on. Like I spend a lot of time dealing with the Halifax Climate Change Plan, as do my colleagues on the team and other business units at Halifax. So we meet regularly with emergency management, and we're looking at what do different communities need to be more resilient when there are extreme weather events, when they are cut off because of wildfires and so on. So, you know, we're in the process of, we're waiting now for a refrigerated truck that can be used in communities when the power is out. We're looking at our rec centers and other urban centers to see what resources they have for community members. We're looking at development of some resources that will help people be better prepared for storms and extreme weather events. My colleagues on the energy side are doing all kinds of things to try to reduce our, decarbonize how the city operates so that we can do our part to try to slow climate change impacts. And then we're looking at our critical infrastructure and our how do we make sure that we've retrofitted and we've helped support residents in making their buildings and infrastructure more resilient to climate change impacts. And I work with the Just Food Group to try to look at food security and food emergency planning in our region to try to make sure that our citizens can be taken care of when there are disruptions and significant impactful events.
How can people who are interested in making a positive change in the environment in Halifax, how could they help? Or is there a volunteering initiative?
That's a terrific question. I think, you know, one of the things that we're seeing, and I'm thinking like this summer when there was a heat wave in the United Kingdom, some of the things that we're focused on trying to do is to help support residents of Halifax in preparing for themselves. So making sure they have a plan. Okay, if this event comes and these things happen, I'm going to do this, and keeping their families informed and aware of the plan, and, you know, having emergency food and so on. And also, you know, we see this a lot in rural communities. Like there's sort of an informal thing that happens where people help each other out inherently and check on their neighbors and so on. And I saw a lot of that, actually. I live on Peninsula, Halifax. I saw a lot of that going on with people out with chainsaws and people who have generators making coffee and sharing it with the neighborhood and so on. So we do see a lot of that, and that's a spirit that I would love for us to be able to foster even further and make sure that resources exist to enable people to do that. And then we have some fantastic nonprofit organizations that work here in our region. So folks like the Ecology Action Center and the Clean Foundation and along the South Shore of Nova Scotia, Coastal Action. If people are looking for opportunities to volunteer, some of those organizations are really keen to get that kind of support.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Is there anything else you would like to add for Dalhousie students listening to this?
Well, actually, Dal is a pretty fantastic institution, too. I will say several of my colleagues from our team are working right now with some capstone groups, doing some really interesting projects on the energy side and in rain gardens. And we're involved in a lecture series that's happening at Dal right now. And so I would say it's pretty fantastic to some of the students that are coming out of the programs at Dal in environmental sciences and planning and so on, really get this stuff. And it's very encouraging and energizing to see that the kind of passion and so on. And so we try to be involved in that as much as we can. I would say for anyone who's heading into this field, it's really excited. You're really needed. There's lots of work to be done. And for those who are just passionate about it in their personal lives and doing everything they can to make the world a better place, I'm really glad that they're here. And I hope that Halifax can support them in every way possible.